So today we are going to cover verses from the 17th chapter, 17 to 28. So in the 17th verse, the personality of religion speaks highly of Pandavas. From 18 to 20, we are getting a little tour of six philosophies. Then in the 21st verse, Parikshit Maharaj is satisfied with the response of personality of religion. From 22 to 27, Parikshit Maharaj recognizes that the bully is not, he is not an ordinary person, but he is the personality of religion himself. And he explains four pillars of religion and the degradation due to Kali Yuga. Then in the 28th verse, Parikshit Maharaj prepares to kill Kali personified. So let's go by verse by verse. So let's sing together.
Dharma uvacha etat va pandaveyanam yuktam artha bhayam vacha kesham guna gunai krishno dyotya bhagavan krutah.
The personality of religion said, "These words just spoken by you befit a person of Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger." So if we last time we covered that the protection of cows is very important, and after that Parikshit Maharaj said, whoever violates his stringent government, those are, even if they are the denizens of the heaven, they cannot escape his stringent government, and they will be punished. So Parikshit Maharaj, as we know, he is a grandson of Arjuna, and he is even Lord protected him even in the mother's womb. So let's read this. The assurance and the challenges made by Parikshit Maharaj are never exaggerations of his real power. The Maharaj said that even the denizens of the heaven could not escape his stringent government if they were the violators of the religious principles. He was not falsely proud, for a devotee of the Lord is equally as powerful as the Lord, or sometimes even more powerful by his grace. So here I will like to say that how Lord is, how a devotee is more powerful. Devotee is more powerful rasa point of view, and Lord is more powerful Siddhanta point of view. So again here Prabhupada says that any promise made by a devotee, though it may be ordinarily very difficult to fulfill, is properly executed by the grace of the Lord. So here we know the example of Bhishma Dev. To keep the promise or keep the vow of Bhishma, Krishna broke his own promise. So he goes to some great extent just to fulfill the promise of his dear devotees. Next verse.
Navayam klesha bijani yataha shu purusharshava purusham tam jvijani mo vyakya veda vimomitaha.
Translation: O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. So here actually Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring what is the cause of their miseries, but personality of religion, being a devotee of Lord, he is not directly telling. Who, even if he can see that, you know, Parikshit Maharaj can see that personality of Kali is hitting, but still he doesn't want to tell. So here Prabhupada is giving a little tour of six philosophies, and there are six philosophers about cause of suffering and effect on the different living beings. Kannada, the author of Vaisheshika philosophy. Gautama, the author of logic. Patanjali, the author of mystic yoga. Kapila, the author of Sankhya philosophy. Jaimini, the author of Karma Mimamsa philosophy. and Vyasadeva, the author of Vedanta Darshana. So in detail, we are going to, in the next verses, we are going to learn what is the cause of sufferings of different philosophies. Although the bull or the personality of religion and the cow, the personality of the earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their suffering, still, as a devotee of the Lord, they knew well also that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. So even the not even the blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. So how something big like this can happen without the sanction of the Lord? And so according to the Padma Purana, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of the seedling sins. But even those seedling sins also gradually fade away by the execution of the pure devotional service. So here the importance of the pure devotional service is emphasized. Thus, even if the devotees see the mischief mongers, they do not accuse them for the sufferings inflicted. So when we read this, we know how much we are actually away from becoming a devotee. Even if they can see mischief mongers, they don't want to, you know, accuse, or they don't want to tell Parikshit Maharaj that actually this is the cause of my suffering. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses, for otherwise the sufferings should have been greater. So here I will like to quote one quote of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He says that whenever we get any suffering, we see that, you know, maybe sometimes we can say that, you know, because of this person I am getting this suffering. So with our mortal eyes we cannot see what is actual cause, but we should think that because Krishna wants to teach me some lesson, Krishna is putting this person in his yogamaya potency. And you know, this devotee is so nice, but because Krishna wants to teach me this lesson, this devotee is acting in such a way so that I can learn that lesson. Otherwise, this, you know, he's just an instrument of Krishna. So devotees don't want to blame anyone for their sufferings. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to get a statement of accusation against the direct mischief monger, but they declined to give it on the above mentioned grounds. We'll move forward. Kashchit vikalpa vasana ahuratmana mahatmana devam manye pare karma svabhavam apare prabhum. Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that the activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain that the nature is the ultimate cause. So here so many causes of distress are given, while you know it is so obvious that personality of Kali is hitting them, but they are going so deep. What are the causes of their distress? So here is the explanation of different causes of sufferings according to different philosophies. So Kannada and Gautama, according to them, atomic combination is the cause of our suffering. Patanjali or mystic yoga, I couldn't find, it was not mentioned in the purport. Kapila, the author of Sankhya philosophy, according to them, material nature is the cause of our suffering. Jaimini, the author of Karma Mimansa, living entity is the cause. And Vyasadeva, the author of Vedanta Darshana, according to them, Lord Krishna is the cause. Impersonalists like Ashtavakra discover that the spiritual effulgence of Brahman is the cause of all causes, but in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself declares that he is the source of impersonal Brahman, and therefore he is the personality of Godhead, is the ultimate cause of all causes. It is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that Lord Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. So what which is that verse?
Ishvara
Param Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Let's read together.
अपमृतर्क्याद् अनिर्देशात् इति केश अपि निश्या आतनुरूपं राजर्षे विमर्श स्वामनीषया.
There are also some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. O sage among kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your own intelligence. So, as we know that not even the blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord, the Vaishnavites, the devotees of the Lord, do believe, as above explained, that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Lord. Even if we know this, that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Lord, still for us, whenever the suffering is coming, we want to find out so many other causes. So he is actually Krishna is the knower of all the past, present and future, and nothing can be concealed from him. The devotees know this truth, and therefore they discharge their duties sincerely without being overly anxious for rewards. So here I would like to give you the example of Indradumna Maharaj. When he was cursed by the Agastya Muni, he was in meditation, and just for a moment he ignored Agastya Muni. But for that he got a curse to got the birth of Gajendra. So for anyone, it was not that big mistake, but how Indradumna took that? He said that, you know, well, so many times I made so many mistakes, so many sinful activities, I didn't get reaction at that time. So it was accumulated, but I'm not aware of that. But when such a small exciting factor, and I got such a big reaction. So Krishna is knower of all the past, present and future. So he knows. So whatever we are getting, maybe in front we can see that our mistakes are not that big, but still it's fair. You know, it's a fair deal. Whatever suffering we are getting, it's due, and we are supposed to get that. So devotees know this truth, and therefore they discharge their duties sincerely without being overly anxious for the reward. The conclusion is therefore that the sufferings of the representative of the religion and the representative of the earth as present before Maharaj Parikshit were planned to prove that Maharaj Parikshit was the ideal executive head, because he knew well how to give protection to the cows and the brahmanas, the two pillars of the spiritual advancement. So here it is explained that the cows and the brahmanas are the spiritual are the pillars of the spiritual advancement. So they need to be protected at all times, and Maharaj Parikshit, being a executive head, he knows very well. So he is taking all the actions, all the needful things, whatever he needs to be done to protect them. So here at the end it is going to be proved that Maharaj Parikshit is an ideal executive head. Am I going too fast?
It's okay, take your time.
Okay.
Suta uvacha evam dharme paratati sasam radvijasatana samyadena manasa vikheda paryachastatam.
Translation. Suta Goswami said, O best among the brahmanas, the emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret he gave his reply. So by hearing all this great philosophy by the personality of religion, Maharaj Parikshit is convinced that this bull is not an ordinary ordinary person, and he knows that he's a personality of religion by now. And also, because Maharaj Parikshit was also at the equal level of sagacity, so he could understand what personality of religion is speaking. That's why he replied to the point without making any mistakes. So let's see what Maharaj Parikshit is going to say.
Rajo uvacha dharmam yavishi dharmajna dharmo shivrasharupadya yadharma kritasthanam sukchakshya kritadvavim.
Translation. The king said, "O you, who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion, and you are speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of a religious act is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion." So here Maharaj Parikshit is directly, you know, he can recognize that bull is none other than the personality of religion. A devotee's conclusion is that no one is directly responsible for being a benefactor or mischief monger without the sanction of the Lord. Therefore, he does not consider anyone to be directly responsible for such action. But in both the cases, he takes it for granted that either benefit or loss is God sent, and thus it is His grace. So here I will like to give you one quote from Govind Prabhu. He says that, you know, whenever we think that, okay, mischief monger, so whenever we think that this is actually the person because of whom I got this reaction, and we want to complain about it, means actually we are not that eager to surrender to the Lord. Because we want to complain about that person, we have daring to do that because we are not that much surrender. We are not desperate to take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. We think that I can manage my spiritual life without surrendering to this person. You know, I can surrender to others, but I don't have to surrender to this person. We are not very desperate. I need you. I can't manage my spiritual life without the help of you. So that's why, you know, we can point out to someone. But actually how devotee thinks is, whatever I'm getting is actually, I'm getting it in a small doses. I deserve much, much more, but I'm getting it, you know, in a small doses because of the mercy of the Lord. So Jesus Christ was seemingly put into such great difficulty being crucified by the ignorant, but he was never angry at the mischief mongers. That is the way of accepting a thing, either favorable or unfavorable. So Radhanath Maharaj says that, you know, whenever we are getting any favorable thing, then we think that, you know, I deserve it actually. That's what I am supposed to get. I deserve that. And whenever we are getting anything unfavorable, then we think, you know, I'm so good. I deserve much, much better than this. So, but how devotee thinks is, whatever is given by God is actually a gift of God. So how I can exchange it with anything else? It's because it is a gift, you know, whatever is there, I should just accept it. By God's grace, the devotees tolerate all reverses. Maharaj Parikshit observed this. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit observed this, and therefore he could understand that the bull was no other than the personality of religion himself. In other words, a devotee has no suffering at all, because so-called suffering is also God's grace. For a devotee who sees God in everything, the cow and the bull never placed any complaint before the king for being tortured by the personality of Kali, although everyone lodges such complaints before the state authorities. So it is very self-explanatory that they are at such a highly platform of being a devotee that even if you know they are suffering so much, still they don't want to lodge a complaint. So what is our position? The extraordinary behavior of the bull made the king conclude that the bull was certainly the personality of religion, for no one else could understand the finer intricacies of the codes of the religion. Let's read together.
Atha deva mayaya nunam gati agochara desha sovasya sanchani bhutani iti nishaya.
Thus, it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. So, here it is little hard to understand. A question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor. Although he knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything, knowing the ultimate doer, one should not pose himself as ignorant of the actual performer. To answer to this doubt, the reply is that the Lord is also not directly responsible, for everything is done by his deputed Maya Shakti or material energy. The material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord. The personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Lord, and still he was put into doubts by deluding energy, and thus he refrained from mentioning the supreme cause. Thus, doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and the material energy. The whole atmosphere of the age of the Kali is magnified by the deluding energy, and the proportion of the measurement is inexplicable. So here even the personality of religion is at such a high level, still he is put into doubt because of the contamination of Kali. Like, you know, what is the cause of his suffering? So definitely, you know, what is our position? We just can't understand what is the cause of our suffering, because the Kali is magnified by because in the age of Kali there is so much contamination that we are all the time going to be so much doubtful. In the age of Satya, truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant religion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. So, we'll read this. The Lord Himself also warns that the deluding power of material energy is too powerful to overcome, but one who is completely surrenders unto the Lord can easily do so. But to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is also not very easy. Such surrender is possible by the persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. These four principles of the advanced civilization were remarkable feature in the age of Satya. So, in the age of Satya Yuga, all these four principles were, you know, completely 100% present. In the Dwapar Yuga, they were 3/4, and in the Treta Yuga, they were 50%, and now in the Kali Yuga, they are almost, you know, 25% or less than that. These four principles of the advanced civilization were remarkable features in the age of Satya. In that age, every human being was practically a qualified Brahmana of the highest order, and in the social order of life, they were all Paramhamsas, or the topmost in the renounced order. By cultural standing, the human beings were not at all subjected to the deluding energy. Such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of the Maya, but gradually, as the basic principles of the Brahmanical culture namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, became curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment for women and intoxication, the path of salvation or the path of transcendental bliss, retreated far, far away from the human society. Rupa Swami Maharaj was saying that, you know, in this age of Kali, because only truthfulness is the only leg present in, you know, so that needs to be moved, or that needs to be, you know, we have to cultivate truthfulness slowly, slowly, and also parallelly we have to cultivate austerity, mercy and cleanliness. Because truthfulness is the only thing remaining, that is the only good quality remaining. So if we practice that, then, you know, we, with the help of that, we can practice austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness. And also, by the process of devotional service, also we are going to get these qualities. Man cannot check all these evils simply by statutory acts and police vigilance, but he can cure the disease of the mind by the proper medicine, namely advocating the principles of the Brahminical culture or the principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. We must always remember that the false pride or too high an estimation of one's old values of life, undue attachment to women or association with them, and the intoxication will divert human civilization from the path of peace. However much the people clamor for peace in the world, the preaching of the Bhagavatam principles will automatically render all men austere, clean both inside and outside, merciful to the suffering and truthful in daily behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of the human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. So here so much emphasis is given to practice truthfulness and practice Brahminical culture, so that we can also get other qualities of austerity, cleanliness, mercy. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel for sonified, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy even that leg. So I think I already explained that, only that leg is remaining. So this peace of mind was complete in the Satya age because of the existence of the above mentioned attributes of the human beings. Gradually these attributes have diminished in the Treta Yuga to 3/4, in the Dwapar Yuga to half, and in this age of Kali to 1/4, which is also gradually diminishing and on account of prevailing untruthfulness. By pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. So, you know, whatever we are getting is, Krishna says that I am the strength of strong. So even whatever little austerities we are doing, is actually we are getting that strength also from Krishna. So when we take the credit or we become proud for those austerities, then the resultant action or whatever results we are going to get by that austerity is spoiled because of pride, because that time we are not giving actual credit to Krishna. By too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. So here I just remembered that, you know, in India we see mostly drunkards, when they don't drink, they are fine, but the day they drink and, you know, come home, they mostly, you know, do all sorts of hitting and all those things. So clearly we can see that intoxication spoils mercy. So you know, it is so obvious that intoxication is spoiling mercy. And by too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all description. Truthfulness is the only leg remaining and partially operating. Hence, we need to move that leg, mean cultivate truthfulness. That is very important. So, actually, in this class, Maharaj, Rupa Swami Maharaj was saying that it is very, very important for us to practice truthfulness. Even if sometimes we can see that if we say truth, we may be, you know, we may come into some difficult situation. But he said that, you know, still whatever is palatable truth, we have to say. So he was giving one example that whenever he is traveling, some people ask him, "Are you a monk?" And then he says, "No." Because then when people are going to see him on computer, then they are going to think, you know, what I'm doing on computer. So he says, I say, "No, I'm not a monk." So whatever is palatable truth, to according to times, place and circumstances, we have to say that. But we have to, and also we have to see what we have. We should know that this is the goal, that, you know, 100% I have to say truth. But what is my level now? Maybe I'm just practicing 10% or 20% and 80% is. So I have to gradually, when I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, gradually I should raise the bar. I should strive to practice truthfulness. That is very, very important. At the same time, cultivate austerity, cleanliness and mercy. Let's sing together.
Idanim dharma adaste satyam nimarte yada tam jigrakshate adamoyam anandate vaiti dhakadi.
You are now standing on one leg only. Oh, how come? Okay, sorry.
Yamcha Uvir Bhagavata Nyashito Rubarasati Srimadis Tatpadanyase Sarvatakrita Kauduka.
The burden of the earth was certainly diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well. When he was present as an incarnation, all good was performed because of his auspicious footprints. So here there is no purport and it is self-explanatory. Now she, the chaste one, being unfortunately forsaken by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes. For now she is being ruled and enjoyed by lower class men who pose as rulers. The kshatriya, or the man who is qualified to protect the sufferers, is meant to rule the state. So it's very obvious that who is qualified to rule the state is only a kshatriya. Untrained lower class men or men without ambition to protect the sufferers cannot be placed on the seat of an administrator. Unfortunately, in the age of Kali, the lower class men without training occupy the post of a ruler by strength of popular votes, and instead of protecting the sufferers, such men create a situation quite intolerable for everyone. Such rulers illegally gratify themselves at the cost of all comforts of the citizens, and thus the chaste mother earth cries to see the pitiable condition of her sons, both men and the animals. That is the future of the world in the age of Kali. When irreligiosity prevails most prominently, and in the absence of a suitable king to curb irreligious tendencies, educating the people systematically in the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam will clear up the hazy atmosphere of corruption, bribery, blackmail, etc. So only kshatriyas were supposed to rule, but we are so unfortunate, we are in the age of Kali, so, you know, anybody is coming to rule the government, and they are not at all qualified. And here Prabhupada is saying that actually they, instead of protecting the sufferers, they are actually creating an intolerable situation for everyone.
धर्मं महीं चैव सान्त्वयित्वा महारद निषादम् आददेकन्दम् कलये धर्महेतवे.
Maharaj Parikshit, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, thus pacified the personality of religion and the earth. Then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of all irreligion. So, patience of Maharaj Parikshit is over now, and he is taking a sword to kill Kali. This age of Kali will certainly be full of all activities of Kali, but this does not mean that the leaders of the society, the executive heads, the learned and the intelligent men, or above all the devotees of the Lord, should sit down tightly and become callous to the reactions of the age of Kali. In the rainy season, certainly there will be profuse rainfalls, but that does not mean that men should not take any means to protect themselves from the rains. It is the duty of the executive heads of the state and others to take all necessary actions against the activities of the Kali or the persons influenced by the age of Kali. And Maharaj Parikshit is the ideal executive head of the state, for at once he was ready to kill the personality of Kali with his sharp sword. So here we know that one should not become a mother or father or a teacher or a guru unless he is able to take their, you know, responsibility to train them in a Krishna conscious way. And they take the responsibility of those people to take them back home, back to Godhead. But here, you know, people are becoming leaders, but they don't know what is actually their duty. So what we are supposed to do, even if we see that, you know, somebody is making mistakes, Prabhupada is saying we are not supposed to keep quiet, but we should take actions against the activities of the Kali or the persons influenced by the age of the Kali. So practical applications. Devotees accept everything favorable or unfavorable as a gift of Lord. So whatever is coming on the way of devotees, they don't reject. As a gift of Lord, they just accept it. Don't blame Krishna's stick. So we saw that, you know, mischief mongers, we should not just point to them, because when we are pointing to them, actually four fingers are towards us. So whatever is coming, it is because of our karma, and there are so many causes we saw. And finally, it is for our purification. Krishna has arranged that, so we should just accept it. Practice truthfulness, and also parallel to that, practice austerity, cleanliness, and mercy for the spiritual advancement. Take action against activities of the Kali and the people influenced by the age of Kali. So I just heard some classes from rumpadaswami.com and ISKCON Desire Tree. Mostly I heard Rumpadaswami Maharaj's classes. All praise to Srila.